Hey, Carm here, and welcome to an episode that brings you the power and value of peer inspections on your facility and property. Now, this discussion applies to the four corners and four walls of your shop. Does your customer see the organization and cleanliness of your shop? Well, how about the environment that your people work in? Is it up to your standards? Seth Thorson and his district manager, Daniel Gravely, share their four-wall, four-corner inspection strategy. And keep in mind, this is a peer review, some special power in that. Hey, thanks to Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros for today's episode. You know, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Keep your staff and your customers safe while maintaining profits and keeping your customers happy. Learn more at getshopware.com. And when someone searches for a shop, are they finding you or your competitors? It should be you. The good people over at Shop Marketing Pros know how to drive website traffic and make Google work for you on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, we're grateful for your continued support for this pure form of business communication designed specifically for the automotive aftermarket. And we continue on our mission to provide information and insights that will help you rise to new levels of leadership and profit.
And they make a decision based on their four senses: smell, touch, taste, just like any human. You know, if there's something that's just out, even if they don't know why, it can affect their buying decision. I think it is important to the staff, but I think it's important to the clients. They just don't know what happens or know why that the facilities are always nice when they come in.
Hey, more like that in a minute. Now, if you want the key talking points from this episode, they're already done for you. The show notes page, remarkableresults.biz/A198. Hey, always glad to get ideas from you on Academy topics or for podcast interviews or even shop tours on Aftermarket Weekly. Hey, please drop me a line at Carm, C-A-R-M, at remarkableresults.biz, or find me on social media. Hey, I'm working extremely hard to carefully craft this content to keep your business acumen running at top performance. I hope you're on my email list, a great way to keep in touch with all episodes so you don't miss an important one that will help you. Go to remarkableresults.biz/insider. And thanks for sharing and recommending the podcast to your peers, and never miss one shop tour that we present each week on the show aftermarketweekly.com. Of course, you're busy, so you can't watch all the episodes live. I get it. Don't fret. Aftermarketweekly.com. They're all there. Binge on them, just like you do Netflix. Hey, now let's talk about facility inspections. Town Hall 198, four-wall inspection audit. Seth, I don't know when we came up with this, but hell, you were on about maybe a month ago, and you dropped that whole idea on me, and I said, we got to do something with it.
Yeah, we were talking, and I dropped something we were doing in the shop, and you're like, oh. I'm like, okay.
The world has to know about this great four-wall, four-corner inspection. With me is Seth Thorson, owner of Euro Tech Auto Service and LMV Bavarian BMW support specialist. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Good to have you here. And also Daniel Gravely, your district manager, Eurotech Auto Service. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
First time on the show. Glad to have you. So here's the deal. You have an idea that you need to be sure that your employees, your customers, the environment is up to a spec that you as the owner wanted to be. And so you pick up the phone and you say, Daniel, this is Seth. Create an inspection and audit program for me. Is that how it worked?
Pretty much. You know, I'm the visionary in our company, and Daniel is a great integrator for those that have read Traction or Rocket Fuel. And I come up with all sorts of ideas, and some of them Daniel rolls his eyes at and throws away before I even get to them. But some of them he will take and run with, and it works generally really, really well. I said, here's my vision of what I want to accomplish so that we have better facilities. Here's the points I want to hit. Now, Daniel, you go build a process and integrate this and make it happen.
Is that how you recall it, Daniel?
Almost identically, yes.
You did, it looks to me, one hell of a job. It's called a four-wall audit. And what I want everyone who's listening and who's going to watch this in repurpose, who's going to listen to this as a podcast, we repurpose every Town Hall Academy each and every Thursday, both in video and audio format. We want you to embrace this. And I don't think it matters what items are on your survey, Daniel, but it's what people want the inspection to be. And there's one other really key component here that I want you all to understand is Seth is a multi-store operation going into his third. Actually, the concrete slab, as you were saying, Seth, is down. And so they're getting ready to build up. What a valuable auditing tool this is. And the thing that I absolutely love about this thing, this whole audit program, Daniel, the group from the other store gets invited to the second store, third store, fourth store, however you build your groups together that look at each other, and they inspect not their own store. Tell me how that works.
We have a leadership meeting every month, and we alternate locations to provide the opportunity for our staff and our management team to come in, and it gives them a wonderful insight to what and an outside perspective of what the shops look like from a customer perspective, a fresh set of eyes, if you will, walking into the building, but even further back is even pulling into the parking lot. What does that look like? What do customers see? You know, we get stuck in the day-to-day of walking through the door multiple times a day, and sometimes a smudge doesn't matter to us anymore. We start to lose sight of those finite details. By bringing the other staff in and our other leaders in to do an audit really sets the bar for that expectation.
Seth, I love what he just said. A smudge doesn't matter.
If you stare at the same cobweb 40 times a day, it blends in the background and you don't see it. And somebody else is going to see it right away. That was the point of it. The other thing we were trying to accomplish to some degree is when we transfer locations, we bring managers in, two people, three people. They get there. It takes a while to get them settled, to get the meeting going. Creating this process at the start of every meeting allowed my staff that as they're walking in, they have something to do. They're in the mindset of we're here to do a meeting. We're here to work. So they get everything done. They sit down. They're ready. It's a great way to start a meeting, to get the cattle herded, if you will, and get everybody down in place, ready to go with a purpose from the minute they walk into the facility so that we can be effective with our time.
Daniel, are they tough on each other?
Oh, brutal. In the best of ways.
What are you discovering?
I'd say for the most part, what we discover are things like Seth had mentioned, cobwebs in the corners, a simple light bulb that may have burned out on the exterior of the building that, you know, we leave at the end of our day and say, oh, I have to remember to do that. Do we really remember to do that? These things that customers are seeing as they walk up, you know, the devil's in the details, and it's always stuff that gets mentioned. So
tell me how important the exterior view is.
A deciding factor of whether somebody's going to continue to do business or begin to do business with you, in my opinion.
How detailed does that audit report get when you must have exterior view, you must have items in that list. Can you give me a few of them off the top of your head?
Mostly what we're looking for is it cleanly? Does the building look approachable? Is the glass in front, if we have glass windows or doors, clean? You know, is the landscaping covered in dirt or, you know, debris or garbage that is blown over from the wind, so on and so forth? Those are the things that we're looking at to try and see, you know, does this building look inviting as we walk up to it?
Do you cover, Seth, the grass in the cracks of the concrete?
That's all in the inspection, and that's why we call it the four-corner four-wall, meaning the four corners of the property, and then everything contained in the four walls of the building. So as the guys are driving up to the facility, they're catching things on the drive up, you know, into our Woodbury is in a mall complex. So is the sign in the mall, is there something that maybe it isn't even our responsibility? Maybe it's a common areas thing, but do you see something in the common areas that can be brought to the landlord's attention? What are you seeing as you drive into the building?
When you have a building that can be traversed 360, ever go to a restaurant and see the grease pits out back? And look at them and say, ooh, I'm not sure I want to eat there. And that reminds me of the importance. We look too much at what our building looks like from almost three walls or three out exteriors, but we never think about the total back where we would throw cores and rotors and our scrap metal. And for you, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, it's come up on the audit about your tires are not stacked properly in the back. I mean, that's come up on the audit because we have a spot that we stack tires, but they were not stacked as well as one shop thought they would. And so they brought it up to the other location that, hey, you really should maybe work on stacking these in a different way. They look nicer, neater.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Seth and Daniel explain the power of an extra set of eyes. Hey, you know, auto repair is a high-dollar, high-value transaction, and your customer sensitivity about how much it costs and why is never more important than when you ask them to pay the bill. While these conversations can sometimes feel awkward or uncomfortable, it's important that you don't fall down and cheapen your services at the final step. Shopware's shop management platform now offers a solution that helps you showcase the value and sophistication that you've invested throughout the repair. With our innovative digital workflow, customers can review, approve, and even pay for services right from their smartphone. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's and you're not even sure it's working? Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best. Run a shop and fix cars. Do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. This is important to Seth Thorson, and Daniel built it, and he holds his team accountable for it. But you've done this for reasons that I mentioned early on. Let's look at it from the customer's perspective. Why is it so important to do this?
People value their stuff differently. But the one thing that we always want to ensure is that people have the perception that not only when they walk in through our door, but when they pull into our parking lot, that their vehicle or that themselves will be cared for in the way that we take pride in our building and our facility and our lot. And it starts from the moment you pull in the building.
And you've gotten proof of that.
Absolutely.
Do customers write it in their review guides, or do they just come up and tell you, this is such a clean and organized and spirited place to do business? Do people just tell you?
Yeah, we've received multiple responses and reviews. People walk in all the time and they say, oh, wow. You know, as soon as they walk in the door, that's what they say. It's an audible thing that we hear. And there's nothing that proves the point of having a clean and safe environment for people to be in.
Seth, I'm sure you've been into a million shops, not a million, but hundreds of shops in our country. And when you look at waiting rooms, and there's a bunch of beautiful ones, the back doesn't necessarily reflect how nice the front looks.
Yeah, I think it's a whole package. I think the other thing is, I think when you're in the business, you don't see it. And that's why what we're doing is powerful. The other problem is there is no shortage of shop owners, probably a lot like me, that I can see all the problems, but then actually getting them done is something else. Where this audit's really strong and where Daniel's really strong is he will hold people accountable. So we start out the meeting after we do our audit. Then he always asks, okay, here's those items from the last inspection at New Brighton. New Brighton, what have you accomplished from this? And things that were bigger capital projects, hey, we got a crumbling brick or something, then we don't address those, but they also get brought to me and Daniel so that I can make capital plans and capital improvement and budgets and plans for larger maintenance items that don't catch us off guard. But what Daniel's really good at is holding people accountable and saying, look, you got the next meeting's in 30 days. So we're going to ask you and call you to the plate. Did you have these things done in 30 days?
Hey, Daniel, take me to the plate. I've got a store. I'm the manager there. I've got a problem. Take me to the plate. What would you say?
Let's say that you had a gutter falling off. You know, we would ask, what is your plan to get this resolved? If it has not been resolved yet, why not? What does that look like for you? Is it because we didn't have the appropriate resources? We didn't know who to call? And what's the next steps? Realistically here, what's a good timeline for it? And if we couldn't accomplish that in 30 days, I do want to understand why. Is it something that, you know, just we blatantly forgot about. That's okay. Let's work through it. But, you know, help me help you. Let's figure out a way to get this done.
And you must have policy in play that they know what they can spend up to, who they can go to. I mean, if you're doing something to this level, four corner, four wall audits, you've got to have the directory that says when this happens, here's where you go.
We actually have a form that gets filled out by our management staff that gets submitted to us. And what that is just a brief outline with a project description, you know, an appropriated budget or a guesstimated budget as to what that looks like. Does it require a sublet or a third party to accomplish these things? And level of importance, will it hinder productivity? Will it provide a negative impression? Based off of that, that gets submitted to us if it is something larger than simply clean the soap scum off of the sink. At that point, we can plan for and budget it and give them the expectation of looks like this is going to be a quarter one project that we can accomplish together. So,
and Seth, you're not into the detail. You've given Daniel a lot of autonomy to get this stuff fixed. You don't have to approve anything, do you?
No, I mean, if it's a bigger expenditure, I have to approve it. But yes, I mean, he has budgets and things, and we meet, you know, fairly regularly to go over what we need to do. And he goes, hey, I got these projects. These look good. Yeah, I'm okay with that, or I'm not. Or, hey, we're really tight this month. We have some other expenditures coming out with the new store. We're going to push this to quarter three. But then he just puts it on his list and stays on top of these guys and says, okay, you know, but you better have it done by quarter three if the budget's approved. The follow-up and accountability is the biggest factor. Anybody can do a program, but if you don't follow up and have accountability, it doesn't matter.
It goes away. It's distilled. It's watered down. It doesn't have any impact. It's just noise. It's just talk.
It's the same thing over and over again. I mean, there was one store that the bathroom was always dirty every time we go there. And so now that's a continuous thing that warrants more conversation or correction.
I know you got a great culture, but more than ever, it's the environment that you want to bring your employees in to work in. Let me just throw out a stat that this four corner, four wall is more important to your staff than your customers by 60-40. Agree or disagree with me?
Some of both. I would say that it's not important to the customers because they don't know what happens. It's an inherent thing that they don't see or pick up on. Customers buy and they make a decision based on their four senses, smell, touch, taste, just like any human. And, you know, if there's something that's just out, even if they don't know why, it can affect their buying decision. So for us, I think it is important to the staff, but I think it's important to the clients. They just don't know what happens or know why that the facilities are always nice when they come in.
Okay, so Daniel, you're doing this for the sake of the customer, but the benefit really helps you find and retain great people too.
Absolutely.
What do your employees say to you, Daniel, about the environment that you create for them?
I get people who have they've changed their attitude about going to the workplace. And it's a question whether it's, do you get to go to work or do you have to go to work? And in my coachings with my staff, I find that 99% of the time, they're excited that they get to go to work. It's not something that they don't want to do.
How do you pick who goes to the leadership meetings? You can't close down the business, am I right?
Correct. So our leadership team is our store manager and our shop foreman at each store. And when they're elevated into those positions, we lay out our expectations. And those expectations include the monthly meeting and a couple hours after work to accomplish those meetings. We hope to grow into the future that we can pull these people out of the store and do this during the day. However, currently it is after hours, but if they choose to take that position, they know what the outline is. And Daniel has the outlines of what that means, including our new foreman that'll run our new store. We are going to assign him all the books that our team has read and make sure he's caught up on everything that we've done. And that's part of when we hired him on, we talked to him about some of the things that need to happen to be in that role.
Let's do a little how thing for our audience. How? Somebody's listening, they're all excited about this and they say, listen, I'm going to do this, but how do I start? And so, Daniel, I've done this before in another life, in another job, and created a extremely comprehensive program like this. And I had to figure out how to start. And, you know, I've got my ideas, but yours are more important than mine will ever be. Tell us, how do you start?
every start of a process, you have to look at it with the end in mind. What are we trying to accomplish here? And with that being said, that outline has to be built based off of what we do as a company. What is our core values? How do we present ourselves? And again, we have to think about the end user, right? The customer and internal customers, our employees. What does this look like? And from there, we have to decide what's important to us. How do we want to present our brand as a whole? And with that in mind, we start to build a list of what that looks like. How do we want to accomplish that? And then from there, it's a simple conversation. You know, if you have the appropriate people in place, the pride in what they do and where they work as a store manager or a foreman will always bring that in as a full buy-in, that something they want. They want to feel good about where they are. They want to be proud of what they do and where they do it. And they want to be able to show off their stores. We do shop tours. We do facility tours. It's really important. So with that in mind, we build a list off of that. And we get our manager's input. We ask them, what's important to you when you come to work? What do you want to see? What do you want to do? And who is our client? What does that look like for us?
So let's go a little deeper into the how thing. Take my yellow pad in hand, start looking around, walking around, looking at what is important, what our end game is, and you start writing and writing and writing and writing. I mean, we're trying to help other shop owners create a four-corner, four-wall audit. They write their butts off, then they start typing them in, and then they start categorizing them, right? Lobby, counter, I'm sure, bays, parts room, whatever. And each of them have certain criteria that you're looking for?
It's not so much that we have a specific measurable thing that we look at in every shop, but you know, the idea behind it is, as a customer may not be walking around with a pen and paper to grade it, but if they notice something is off, out of place, is there a napkin on the floor? If that's the case, if you see something, do something, right? Pick it up, throw it in the garbage. The opportunities we have within that, yes, it's the chance for somebody to see with their eyes that things are as they should appear.
We may have a disjoint here, because I'm thinking that your four corner, four wall is a document with some check boxes. Is it or not?
No.
Aha. You just broke the code for me.
We did not want it to be that rigid, because this is a 5 to 10 minute, a quick audit, because we want to see problems and then get your butt in the seats so that we can continue on to our meeting. But it happens so regularly that we catch a lot of stuff. We have full on audits that we do periodically throughout the year, but this is a bi-monthly check-in.
It's a view from the aisle seat. When you say you have some completes, are those the checklists, Seth?
Yes, those have full-on checklists.
Would you guys recommend something like that to start in an organization that's trying to build their, you know, their stronger environment and their customer perspectives, improve that? My point is that would you have that level of detail? The counter is clean, there's no dust, that the beverage thing is right, that the rug is vacuumed or the floor is swept, all of those.
That's in our store manager's SOP. So each store has that standard operating procedure that Daniel's written out for them. And that gets turned in monthly. Daniel, they're turning that in to you? Or?
Yes, we do a month-end audit on what's needed and what that looks like.
You're trying to make sure that the image, the cleanliness, the organization of the facility is in check in an SOP based on the responsibility of the manager. The manager knows, when I come to work for you guys, these are the minimum requirements. Now, with that all said, the 5 to 10 minute quick view, four wall, four corner audit from their peers helps lock that in place almost. I got it. I like it.
The rough guideline that they got when we started this is drive up. What do you see? Drive up. Walk around the exterior of all the building, the four corners of the property. Walk in the building, and you start in the front of the building. You start in the front of the house. You do the bathrooms. You do everything in the front of the house. Then you go into the shop, and you hit all four corners inside the shop. So there's a layout, but they're just looking for things that they see.
I'm pretty darn impressed with, now that I know a little bit more on how you guys are doing it, this is not difficult at all to do inside of any organization. I guess the ownership has to make the commitment to want to do it. I mean, they don't need, not everyone needs a Daniel, Seth, right?
Not everybody, but it certainly makes it easier. It depends on how accountable you can hold yourself, right? You can say you want to do a program, but if you don't follow up and make it happen or assign somebody to make it happen, I always tell to you, there's no shortage of ideas. There's a shortage of execution. And if you don't execute on your ideas, it doesn't matter.
Boy, isn't that the truth. How long is your to-do list, Daniel?
There is no end.
You have one like me. Is it electronic or is it on paper?
Oh, definitely electronic.
And what software do you use?
I use my notepad on my phone, and then I use an app, actually, to help keep me organized and set reminders for myself. I'm currently using Remember the Milk is one of the apps that I use.
Remember the Milk. Yeah, I've heard of that. I've never tried that one. I have tried so many in the past, you know, using for 2 or 3 weeks, Seth, and then all of a sudden I can't fall into the routine. And I'm into heavily now, and I've continued to use it for months, is Microsoft To Do. Microsoft To Do, by the way. And it's wherever I go on a smart device, my to-do list stares me in the eyes. So that's the beauty of having it synced everywhere. Hey, guys, this was very good. We got the essence of what this is all about. I learned an awful lot. I appreciate that. Let's just go through and do any final words. I mean, remember, we're out there trying to motivate and share to the rest of the industry the value of what these audits are about. And remember, here's what I learned. Your four-corner, four-wall audit is a quick view from your leadership team into a peer's facility. But you also have an in-depth responsibility for each manager to conform to. Any final words, Daniel?
That's the ultimate goal, is making sure everybody has a safe and clean place to not only work, but to come and do business with. And it's a level of respect that we hold not only for ourselves, but for our customers. And we hold that high.
Yeah, thank you. We released an episode today, by the way, a dealership technician who came over to an independent. He worked at a dealership for 14 years and listened to his discussion as to why he did what he did. And one of the things, and I'm not sure it made the podcast, but when I was speaking to him offline, is that it was a great environment, a good team and a good family. And you create that with good systems and good processes and holding people accountable to not only culture, but environment. It's more important than ever. And Seth, you're on the cutting edge of that. So any final words for our audience, man?
If you're considering it, you know, my biggest thing would be get somebody, you know, if you're a single shop owner, get somebody that is not at your shop every day to come in and just be critical of a fresh set of eyes. And it doesn't have to be in depth, but even if your spouse isn't in your business every day, have him or her come over and look at it. Or, you know, a family friend, just have somebody look at it from a fresh set of eyes, because it's amazing what you look over every single day when you're there. Or you think you're going to get to it and then you forget about it, and then it's so normal that you don't even see it.
I'm in an independent group here in Buffalo hanging out with a bunch of fabulous shop owners, and we did a shop tour yesterday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't help but being so... Hey, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And I realized at the end that, wow, I really overstepped my bounds. So be careful if you invite someone that you're really close to. You have to accept. You have to accept their comments and observations. But it's a great, great, great idea. And one day I'll tell the story of my gallon of paint. And we didn't get a chance to do it here. So thank you so much, Seth Thorson from Eurotech Auto Service and LMV Bavarian BMW Support. And his number one guy, his district manager, Daniel Gravely, who makes Scott so damn successful. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.